let everyone know a little bit of where we are in the process. We are here tonight because of the 2013 bond issue for $83.5 million. Voters approved that, and one of the major projects from that was the building of elementary number 9, which has turned out now to be Spring Creek Elementary. Opening a new school means we need new elementary attendance zones, and we had to do a little bit of work prior to making a recommendation. That work started when Harner and Associates did a demographic study for us between October and February of this last school year, and Dr. Harner presented that information to the board in February. Following the presentation of the demographic study, the board held 3 community forums to receive feedback on potential parameters for the rezoning committee. Those were held on February 26th, February 27th, and March 5th. The board took the information they received from the community forums and any other feedback, and they adopted 3 parameters for the rezoning committee at their March 18th meeting. The committee met 5 times between March 27th and May the 8th, and at the May 8th meeting, the committee came forward with a recommendation, which you'll see later on this evening. We are now here presenting the rezoning committee's recommendation to you. As we said earlier in the meeting, the board will hold 3 community forums or public hearings on the recommended zones. They are Tuesday the 2nd, Thursday the 4th, and Wednesday the 10th. The board does anticipate approving these new attendance zones either September or October of this year. And again, they do not take place, do not take effect until August of 2015. The old zones work for next Monday. Try to say that as many times as possible when we do it in August. The 2014 rezoning committee was made up of 31 members from across the district. We had 25 voting members and 6 non-voting members. These folks, we were given names of potential representatives from board members. We asked principals and cabinet members, threw in some names as well. Really, what the board was looking for were people who would think for an entire district, not just their neighborhood or the schools their kids were currently attending. People who would work hard and ask good questions and make as geographically representative of the district as possible. At this point, I would like to recognize, I believe we have 7 or so members of the rezoning committee who have joined us tonight. I would love if you would stand so the board can recognize you and thank you for your service. Thank you very much. And here's everybody who served on the committee. You can see the voting members who are here, several who are here this evening, and then we had several non-voting members, and Dr. Coulson served as our facilitator. The rezoning committee, they were a tremendous group, worked very hard. They took their jobs seriously. They thought hard about different alternatives. They had some difficult conversations about the many things that go into creating attendance zones, race, socioeconomics, needs of students and families from various backgrounds. As I said, we met from the 27th to the 8th. We had a lot of good information. We shared some of the information from a demographic study. We had Morgan Hester from the City of College Station who was able to be with us and do a presentation on growth in the city. We reviewed 3 initial scenarios. We refined a scenario and had 3 more. We looked at a slight modification of our last scenario and made a recommendation on May the 8th. What was the charge to the committee? It was to study all of the issues that surround creating attendance zones. And a lot of that is data. It's looking at, as we said, the demographic trends of the state, the planning and development in the city, the growth of projections from our demographic study, how big is every school, how many rooms do we have, and how much capacity is there, and then the projected enrollment by planning our geographic area. But it's more than just math. There's a human side to it, and this is why the people get into a room and spend 6 weeks together, is to discuss those impacts to the school district, to the various schools, to the neighborhoods, and even to the families. The committee's charge also is to make a recommendation to the school board, which we will tonight, and we'll have 2 recommendations, one on attendance zones and then a grandfathering recommendation as well. The parameters, as I said earlier, the school board met with the community 3 times before we ever started the rezoning process to give feedback on what should be something to consider. We went through that process so that the board could have that discussion before we saw lines on a sheet of paper to talk about what is important both to the community and to the corporate board. They used that feedback to develop the parameters. The committee could not operate outside of those parameters. They kind of boxed us in. That's why they're parameters. We worked within inside them, but they we could interpret some of those. So what were the parameters that we worked within? And those were, number one, zone the schools for growth. We have some faster-growing areas of the district and some slower-growing areas. We want to make sure that we had the growth inside the facilities to be able to fit the students. Wanted to zone schools for a comparable composition of students, and we look to improve the range of composition among our nine schools, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and maintain three Title I campuses. Things that were not parameters. Feeder patterns from elementary to intermediate school. Last time in the 2010 rezoning, we moved away from the, we had a discussion about that, in fact, in workshop. It was just too difficult to make feeder patterns from elementary to intermediate schools, especially when you go back and forth from an even number of elementary schools to an odd number of schools to an even to an odd every 3 or 4 years. It would be difficult to keep the feeder patterns when you had three going into one school and four going into another. It plays a little havoc with your capacities at the intermediate level. Another thing that was not a parameter was to make as few changes as possible. What you will see is a recommendation that makes very few changes, but that was not a parameter that we considered. Another thing that was not a parameter was zoning students to schools that are closest to their home or neighborhood. We have in College Station ISD for years and a number of rezonings traditionally moved kids all around the district from various neighborhoods to various schools in an effort to achieve comparability in socioeconomic status. What you see right here are current attendance zones. So when you go to school on the 25th, these are the ones. And I'll just show you right here, orient everybody to the district. I usually start down here on State Highway 6 at the southern area of our district. This is State Highway 6. It moves north to William D. Fitch. So this red area is the Pebble Creek Elementary Zone. This is the Forest Ridge Zone. This is William D. Fitch and State Highway 40 as it goes down and hits Welborn Road. Continuing up Highway 6 to the split. Well, this is Texas Avenue that goes down in front, Texas A&M University, and this is the bypass that goes around. This road right here is Rock Prairie Road. As you can see, a lot of work on that grade separation right now over by the medical center and Scott and White Hospital. And it moves there past Welborn Road to the western part of our district towards the Brazos River. This right here is Welborn Road. It comes all the way through and comes down here to the bottom part of our district. And as you know, we're encapsulated by Peach Creek, the Navasota River, Carter Creek, Bryan to the north, the Checkerboard, White's Creek, and then the Brazos River until you get to the southern end of our district. So I think I pointed most of this stuff out. So these, as I said, these are the current zones. We do have, as we talked about, comparable composition earlier. We do have, as we pointed out with the board earlier, do have a number of folks that are non-contiguous with the attendance zones they live in. So these folks here in Windsor Point have for many years gone to Pebble Creek Elementary School. Folks at Southgate Village Apartment Complex have gone for the last 5 years to Creekview Elementary. And the State Street kids, which are just north of us right here where we sit today, go since the opening of Forest Ridge Elementary School, which is right here. This every dot represents a school child who was in CSISD in one of the last 3 years. We had to give some information to our demographer to do the demographic study. What you'll notice, a few things I'll point out. There's different ones outside the district. Just for those in the audience who are not aware, folks outside the district can come to College Station ISD schools if their parent is an employee in College Station ISD. As you can see, we are pretty loaded up with kids in the middle part of the district and to a great extent to the northern part of the district. The Creekview attendance zone disappears when you put the dots on the map. There's so many kids in that particular area. In fact, when you look at this triangle from Barron Road to, it's kind of a triangle, it's a four-sided figure, but I hate to hate to be imprecise here, but from Barron Road to State Highway 6 to State Highway 40 in this area right here, so many kids that we actually draw kids from this particular geographic area to 1, 2, 3, 4 schools. Because of the density of the kids who live in that particular area. So it presents a challenge for us. That's why we built a school right here, very close to it. And you can see why it makes sense to put Spring Creek Elementary so close to where we have so many of our kids. One of the things that our committee had to consider was the capacity of the schools and what our enrollment was in October of 2013. You can see our functional capacity in, as I said, October of last year. You add all those up, it's 5,160 kids. We have a capacity without portables. We basically were 60 kids within our within 60 kids of our capacity last year, and we're not going to open this school until next year. So we know that that's one of the reasons why we've had to move around some portables, and we're continuing to need to build schools in College Station ISD because of the kids who continue to come. But as you can see, we're over capacity in a number of our schools, even last year, 2 years before. Excuse me, we opened elementary school number 9, which is Spring Creek Elementary. So our projections with the current zones, I just showed you this just by way of reference, kind of shows you where people are living and moving to. There are 743 kids last year in October who were geocoded to the Greens Prairie zone. What that means is their physical address is in the Greens Prairie zone. They may go to school at a different school because they're involved in some educational program that takes them to that school, but physically living out there, 743 kids. If we didn't if the taxpayers didn't pass the bond, then you can see we're up to almost 1,000 students who would be living in the Greens Prairie zone with our current zones. As you can see, College Hills is getting bigger, Creekview almost to 800, and so on and so forth. So it does highlight we have very fast-growing areas of town, and we have some areas of town that are built out and are more stable than others. So scenario F1 is the one that we will be presenting to you tonight as our recommendation. As I alluded to earlier, there are really very few changes to this from our current zones. There are changes, just not as many as maybe we have had in rezonings past. There are no changes to the current Pebble Creek and Southwood Valley attendance zones. There are minor changes to Rock Prairie. Rock Prairie would no longer have the apartments just north of here on Southwest Parkway between Welsh and Welburn Road. Those folks would go back to Forest Ridge where they have been in the past. College Hills would lose the Northgate, Church Street, the old married student housing area, if you think north of University, between Welburn Road and Texas Avenue, that little strip that is still in College Station ISD. We do have some kids who live back there, although it is a lot more student housing than it used to be, including married student housing being gone, where we used to get a number of kids from. But that would move out of College Hills into South Knoll. And Creekview, losing the Alexandria, the streets that are that come off of Alexandria south of Barron Road. So what about Spring Creek? Spring Creek is the newest campus. Most of Spring Creek's kids would come from the Greens Prairie Elementary School zone. It only, when you go back to that one spreadsheet, it only makes sense because that's where a lot of our growth is, and they're right in that area. So that would take some of that pressure off of Greens Prairie Elementary School. It does take a few neighborhoods from other schools, and that Alexandria south of Barron that we talked about from Creekview would be going to Spring Creek. The Shenandoah area south of Barron Road from Forest Ridge to Spring Creek. And then there is another group of kids which live just over here to the east of where we are now, off of, and I'll show you this on the map here in a second, off of Krennic Tap to Dartmouth to Southwest Parkway to Texas Avenue. There's a big square of land right there. It has some federally assisted housing and some manufactured homes, two parks that are on that spot as well. It's right just adjacent to the police station there, if you recall what we're talking about. So they would be moving from South Knoll to Spring Creek. So this is what it looks like. The newest color for us for Spring Creek is gray. Spring Creek is right here in the property that we purchased just a little bit ago from the French development right there. It is just south of Highway 40. If you look across Highway 40, you can see the back ball fields from College Station High School right there. So that's where they're located. So they would be taking kids from Castle Rock. This right here is the Seaback Estate property, so nobody's living on that yet. This is College Station High School, so nobody's there. This is Sonoma. Going down Barron Road, they would take Riata Meadows, the Alexandria south of Barron we talked about, and that part of Shenandoah right there. So basically everything south of Barron Road. This right here is Castle Gate 2. This is Barron Road right here, and Barron Cutoff comes in there as well. And then this is the Alaysia Court area. This is Capstone right here, so this is west of the railroad tracks in 2154. And it goes all the way up to this mobile home parks right here, and goes to the farthest north is Rock Prairie Road. So you go Rock Prairie Road to the old INGN, which is now Holloman Drive South, down to Dowling Road, back to FM 2154. So that's kind of where they get most of their kids. And they would get these kids right up here that we talked about, off of Krennic Tap, Dartmouth, Southwest Parkway, and Texas Avenue. So the question is, why did the committee make the recommendation to move this group out here? And we have, from time to time, moved groups of kids, high SES concentrations of kids, like Emerald Forest and North Forest, going to South Knoll, Foxfire and Wood Creek going to to Southwood Valley, Pebble Creek going all the way up to Oakwood. We do that. We also move some higher concentration of low SES students in other directions too, to help with our comparability. And so, as we talked earlier, we had the Windsor Point kids who've gone for years to Pebble Creek, our Southgate kids who, since its opening, have gone to Creekview, and our State Streets kids who have gone to Forest Ridge since its opening. Was there another spot that potentially that we could look to do that? So we worked with our folks at the city and identified another area that actually does have some federally subsidized housing. And so there are two complexes there on Dartmouth, kind of behind the Shell station there, kind of between Dartmouth and Southwest Parkway, that we get some folks there. Plus, as I said, there's a couple of mobile home parks. So those folks already get on a bus to go to South Knoll because this is a hazardous route with Texas Avenue being here. This recommendation would put them on the bus, but it would be a longer ride. It would be out to the newest school in College Station ISD, Spring Creek Elementary. So that is our recommendation. Let me talk you through some of the issues that we had to work through as a committee. I kind of talked about it a little bit already with the Creekview Triangle, or four-sided figure, whatever it is. We'll figure out to call that later. In that area, we said that we draw four schools from that area. We tried to lower it to two or three. We had to keep four. We looked at Edelweiss Gardens, which is this group of folks right here in green. They are south of Graham Road and just across Victoria, basically, from Creekview. We looked at a way to get them to go to a closer school at Creekview, even though Rock Prairie is just right down the street. It's not very far at all. We couldn't do it because, as you can see, how big Creekview has gotten, it's gotten smaller. It's a very small attendance zone now because so many kids live in there. So we had to make it smaller and getting rid of some other groups that were going there. So we tried to add that one in there, but it busted the capacity for that school. In the same way, we tried with the Riata Meadows and Alexandria area to do the same thing. Those are these folks right here who those kids ostensibly could ride their bike to Creekview as well. But again, same issue happened. It put us over on capacity. So we had to keep the Edelweiss Gardens kids where they are going to Rock Prairie, and then move these folks out with their neighbors out to Spring Creek, which is still really very close to them. We wanted to look at lowering College Hills' overall numbers. College Hills is one of our largest schools. It's a school that gets a lot of in-migration. What I mean by that is they have kids who reside in another attendance zone, but they're involved in a dual language program or the CASEL program or one of the two Head Start programs there. So they are pretty big right now, and they get kids who come to their school. So was there a way to lower those numbers? And there was. We looked at some of the communities on the edge. We looked at moving Raintree, but that raise the percent low SES for College Hills a little bit higher than the committee was comfortable with. And we looked at moving the students north of University between Welborn Road and Texas, as we talked about, and that seemed to work well for the recommendation. One of the other issues we had was we have a line that goes through what has gone through a field. I want to say a line, an attendance boundary that goes through a field west of 2154 in what is now the Caldwell development, the Great Oaks development that's being expanded out there. But now that development is on both sides of the line. It's no longer in the middle of a field. It's the middle of what's going to be a development. So we needed to clean that up. Right now, the line, the development part of it is in the South Knoll attendant zone, and part of it is in the Greens Prairie attendant zone. So it would make sense to put it in, all of it in one or the other. We looked at different options with that. We ultimately moved the entire area in that development to Greens Prairie, but we were able to balance South Knoll, who lost a couple of areas, the Caldwell development that we just talked about, that half of it, to Greens Prairie, and then what we have just talked about over off Krennic Tap to Spring Creek, but then they got all those folks from College Hills in the Northgate Married Student Housing area. So it actually did balance out demographically, and it actually did balance out numbers-wise for South Knoll. So how did we do in regards to the parameters that were given to us by the Board of Trustees? The first one was Zoned Schools for Growth. This is real busy, so I'll kind of walk you through it right here. This is the number of kids who are geocoded in each of the zones. Again, the kids who reside in that zone, irrespective of where they actually attend school. We can't know where a kid's going to attend school in 2014 or 2015 necessarily, because they could change based on programs, but we know where they live. So what we're looking at here is our projection based on the demographic study for October of 2014. It's projected 610 kids would reside in the College Hills zone, 577 in Creekview, and you can go and look all the way down there. Well, what's of importance to the committee was looking into the out years. This would be the first year the school would open, fall of 2015, year two, year three, year four. Where are we in regards to the capacities for the schools in year four? And as you can see, none of the schools touches 700 students. Now, what we know is, if you go back to that, that map that showed all the dots and there's people who live outside the district, we know that in October of 2013, we had 77 kids who were in elementary school and College Station ISD who resided outside the district. So some of these will be more because we'll be bringing kids in from outside the district. But this shows just how we were able to move the zones enough to where we could keep our capacities within, keep our numbers within our school capacities for as long as possible. Second one was zoned schools for a comparable composition of students. So what constitutes comparability? It's not equality. It's not perfectly being equal. But what we wanted to do was try to at least reduce the range between our highest percentage of low SES students and our lowest percentage of low SES students a little bit. And we were able to go from the current scenario, which has our highest geocoded numbers at 55.3 and our lowest at 20.5, which is about a 35% range, to 53.9 on the high end and 26% on the low end, so about a 28% range. So we were able to lower that range and not have the high number too high. Prior to the 2010 rezoning, Solwood Valley Elementary was above 70% and percent low SES. So over the last two rezonings, to take it from 71 down to below 54 over two rezonings, I think it has really improved the comparability at the elementary school level. And before 2010, we were dividing by 7, and now we're dividing by 9. So I think the committee did a great job in working through that particular issue. If you just want to look at them by school, by percent low SES, these are our current zones as they exist now. So you can see Spring Creek does not have a zone, and you can see where they would be. So our highest was 55.3. For College Hills, it goes down just a little bit, about a point and a half. And our lowest was Forest Ridge at 20.5, and it goes out to 26, which is more in line with where Pebble Creek is. And closer now to Rock Prairie and Greens Prairie. The last thing parameter for us was to maintain three Title I schools, and this allows us to do this. And as you can see, the ones in blue are our three Title I schools. To be a Title I school, you must have at least 40% of students on free and reduced lunch. And so probably if you look at this for a while, you can see, okay, between 49 and 54, that's pretty tight grouping right there. And you'll notice that Creekview jumps up from 38 to 43.5. And why is that? Creekview did not receive any additional low SES students that we're aware of, unless somebody moves in real close to the school. Primarily the low SES students at Creekview come from the Southgate Village apartment complex, which is pretty stagnant in the amount of students that they can send. What happened with Creekview is we made the zone smaller around the school. But also what we know is there's capacity around the school, as you see the homes being built now, that school is going to get bigger as it goes through the next 3 or 4 years, and it's probably going to add non-low SES kids. So this 43.5 is probably the high water mark, and it should get lower and lower and closer to 40 or lower, and maybe approaching where Spring Creek is as they add students, kind of how the zones lay out for that. So we wanted to do some analysis of students moving to a school other than the new school. I know there's a lot of excitement about moving to the new school, but sometimes you get moved to a school that's not new. And how does that work out? During the 2010 rezoning, we did a lot of movement at the elementary level, perhaps you remember. We had Southgate Village moved at that time from Southwood Valley to Creekview. The Foxfire Wood Creek folks moved at that time. Edelweiss Gardens, which we tried to address, which I talked about a few minutes ago. The Windsor Point, the area around Windsor Point, the Windsor Point kids had been at Pebble Creek for years, but we kind of expanded that to a bigger geographic area around Windsor Point. Southwood Forest changed schools. Emerald Forest and North Forest changed schools. Carter Lake area changed schools. Rock Prairie Road east of Highway 6 changed schools. And we moved, actually projected at that time, 219 kids pre-K through second grade. This time, as you've seen the areas we're talking about moving to from one school to the other, the north of University Road right here, University Drive, excuse me, Church Street, Northgate, and Old Married Student Housing from College Hills to Southwood Valley, excuse me, to South Knoll. The apartments on Southwest Parkway right over here to Forest Ridge, that half of the Caldwell development, and the Cane Road, Paloma Ridge. And this is actually, I think I transposed some numbers as we looked at them in the last meeting. I think that's 101 students, not 110. So as you see, it's about half of kids that would be affected this year in comparison to our last rezoning. This shows it graphically for you, and I think this may be the best information for you right here. If it's in this maroonish color right here, these are the kids who are going to be moved in that area to Spring Creek Elementary. Obviously, if you're going to Spring Creek, it didn't exist before. You have to come from a different school. So this is the Spring Creek zone. The blue areas are basically the three areas that move from one school to another that we were using to balance out both capacities and our comparability. So really, this shows we're setting up the Spring Creek zone, and we're basically moving three different areas to other schools. The last thing we'd like to talk to you about is a grandfathering recommendation. It has been our practice to recommend in the past that students going into their final grade in a campus, if their school changes but their house doesn't, meaning they stay in the same house but the school goes, but the houses in that neighborhood or apartments in that neighborhood go to a different campus and they're in their last year, they can choose if they would like to stay at their current campus for that last year in that school. So for 2015, we would have, since we're only doing elementary zones, the recommendation would be for fourth graders in 2015-16, if the school in their neighborhood changes, means they don't move, then they may choose to stay at their current school for that school year only, and transportation would not be provided as has been our practice. So who would be affected in that? Projected fourth graders in fall 2015. They were second graders last year. So we're looking at the kids who were second graders last October. when they come back to school next week, there will be third graders. Next year when it opens, there will be fourth graders. There's 79 students there who would be going to Spring Creek who could stay at their current school. 22 students going to a new school other than Spring Creek. So of those blue areas that you saw, only 22 students would be affected, roughly, based on geocoded from last year. And I think it's important to point out, it's been 4 years since we've rezoned at the elementary level. No student below fourth grade would have to attend three elementary schools by staying in the same house. Right? So when we rezoned after 2 years, back in 2010, we did have that instance. But waiting 4 years, nobody would be affected that way. Okay, so those are the folks who would be affected. Potentially could grandfather. If you're a fourth grader and you live in any of these zones right here, you could choose to stay at your same school. In summary, the recommendation that you have before you today lowers the disparity between the highest and lowest percent low SES from 35 to a little bit below 28%. Has only 2 of 9 campuses below 30% low SES. It keeps the projected capacity numbers below 700 for 4 years. To the 2018-19 school year, which we think is an efficient use of the resources that we have. And with that, I'd love to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. I think you did a great job, and want to thank those community members that are here that participated in the rezoning. That is one of the hardest things, other than dropping your kindergartner off for the first time, that as a student, you know, as a parent, you probably go through, because you understand the charge, but you understand it's people's kids, and it's hard. And for that, we really do appreciate your time and effort, and where we are today. So thank you very much for that. Great job. I think the fact that we've minimized the amount of movement and the way the message is communicated, I think it's, you all should be commended for your work. So thank you for that. Anybody else have anything to say?
Yeah, I was just say, I mean, I agree, a good job at first blush looks looks good, and I certainly know the committee put a lot of good, meaningful effort into it. I heard lots of good things. But and we don't have to get into the details, but my first thoughts of the things that I haven't quite wrestled through with are always relying on the geocoding versus the real enrollment numbers. I just think I'm going to go to the trouble of really looking at the enrollment numbers, at least the ones we feel really, really confident in, like the dual language and some of the Head Start numbers. I mean, there are significant differences, at least to me, in between geocoding and the real enrollment numbers. Over 100 students in Coffee Valley. So that's one I still want to better understand. Maybe the feeder patterns, but I'll need to understand that a little better, too.
So in regards to the disparity between geocoded and kids who actually enroll there, there's a couple of ways that we can do that. One, we really talked in great detail with the committee about, okay, remember, when you see a number on a sheet of paper, let's say it's 595, okay? You know, it's 595 plus or minus, kind of depending on what we've historically seen. So they were able to use that kind of filter as we talked through some of those numbers. It wasn't just the hard, discrete number that was on the sheet of paper. But there's another thing. The administration has the ability to also determine where those programs go. So we have some programs that have some schools that are heavy with programs that bring kids in. And maybe because they're centrally located in the city, it's hard for some of our kids, say, in Head Start to go out to some of our farther schools, so that can kind of affect that. But as some of our farther south schools become more not so south anymore, we can look at how we apportion our programs at our various campuses. So they're not necessarily locked there. Some of them kind of are, but we can look at, as we add programs and potentially moving stuff around. I know, for example, in special services, special education programs, we do move some of those programs around from time to time. So that can affect us as we go forward in the future. The committee has no idea about that because we haven't even had those discussions yet. So it's kind of hard to do.